Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, and for today, we're going to get into a conversation that we continue to have, which is very important, and that's around the digitization of the economy, digitization of banking services, financial services, payments, and financial technology. And we're joined today by one of the country's largest banks, that is Absa, just to get a sense of some of their investments when it comes to technology, how they're thinking about technology, and I guess some of the direction that they see their sector going in, and how technology is going to be able to enable that type of thing going forward. Joining me today to make sense of things for us is Tato Motolong, who is the managing executive for technology and operations over at Absa Everyday Banking. Tato, greetings to you today.
Good deal. Greetings to you too.
So let's get some things to get today's conversation started. We wanted to get a sense of when you're looking at an organization the size of Absa, right? There's a lot of things that we think about how the machinery is working on the inside. But for yourself, what are you actually looking after when it comes to, I guess, that technology function at Absa Everyday Banking? Because, a lot of people look at Absa monolithically to say just Absa. But when you dig a little bit deeper, you do understand that there are a number of business units. So I'm just wondering, when it comes to the technology piece, how it is that you guys have carved yourselves out, as a business unit?
Well, thanks, Mr. Mudiwa. Look, Absa is broken down into four businesses. And the businesses that I lead from a technology and operation perspective is called Everyday Banking. So if you think about all the digital channels servicing retail and business banking customers, all those channels, branch network, contact centers, digital channels, that sits within my portfolio. So those are critical touch points in how we service our customers. And we, in some of those, we support the other business units, like the product solution cluster, as I indicated. So the four businesses within the organization is corporate investment banking, product solution cluster, Everyday Banking, and the other region of the business. So those are the four critical ones. And now you can get a sense as to where I sit in that context. So I basically lead the technology and the operations of Everyday Banking.
Interestingly enough, I've been having a number of engagements of late. We, as Business Day, we hosted our sessions around Business Day dialogues recently. And one of the things that we're talking about is obviously everyone's talking now about AI and that type of thing. But the underlying conversation when it came specifically to financial services is this issue of I believe, the nerds would say CX, but out there in the public, it's customer experience. And I wanted to maybe get your sense, around the place of customer experience and technology in your world, right? Because the sense that I've gotten is that it's so important. That's how, it's being framed to me. But, maybe you have, your view around, the use of technology and, enhancing that relationship with the customer.
No, you're absolutely right. Customer experience, it's at the heart of servicing customers. Customer experience, not only for directly with those channels that serve customers, that customers engaged with on a one-on-one basis, but also our contact center channel, as well as the colleagues that work within the branch network. And hence, about 3 years ago, we made a decision to make a significant investment in the colleague experience. We strongly believe that if you change the colleague experience, and ultimately they will also influence customers a lot more. Imagine on a daily basis working with 22 different applications, and that's what we had at the time, about 3 years ago. We are now in a position to bring all of that into one customer relationship managing platform called Salesforce. And we started this relationship in about 2021, and that has really helped us to change the customer experience of our colleagues in the front line. And equally, that customer experience is critical within the context of our digital channels. Early this year, we landed what we call the chat wallet. And it's safe to say that it just received an award for best professional commercial project in the Global Service Design Awards. And that's, and you're competing with US companies, banks in the US market, Canada, Finland. And these are, and for us to be able to create an experience that resonates with the customers is very, very important. So it's not just about the tech, it's about the actual design that goes behind the technology and how that solutions resonate with customers.
You know, when it comes to, let's say, an implementation of something like Salesforce, I've done a little bit of work with Salesforce, and I understand that that is usually not an easy thing to do. It usually takes an organization sort of analyzing all their processes, touch points with customers, and then finding out, you know, how do you effectively optimize. In your case, you're taking 22 applications and then, you know, whittling them down onto one platform in such a way that the customer on the other side doesn't notice the fact that, you know, you've got these 22 applications that are now on the one platform. I always love saying that when we were at school learning information systems, they often said that the best technology is the technology that you don't even realize is there. It just works. You know, things just work. So maybe you could talk to us around, I guess, something like that, when you are thinking about the customer putting these systems in place, such as the chat application that you're talking about right now, right? Maybe just to give some of us and people that want to understand some of these things the complexity that's in the background, because as a customer, you just go on the application and, you know, maybe it's WhatsApp or whatever, and you're just talking, you know, you're just texting. But in the background, I'm sure that there's a lot of things that are in place to make that simple interaction actually happen.
Yeah, no, you're quite right. Making this transformation, it's a big investment in terms of effort as well as financial resources. And one of the critical reasons why we've partnered with Salesforce is because they're really driving some of the heavy lifting on their side, so that a bank of our size can focus on the last mile. And the last mile is really around the configuration of solutions on the Salesforce platform. And being on a single platform like that, and as Salesforce continues to grow and mature, and which is what we've seen now lately, where they're starting to focus a lot on financial services, we, as a partner to Salesforce, we then grow with them. Now recently, they have landed what we call an agent force, which is an AI-backed capability that allows to be able to bring automation and efficiency in how colleagues can serve customers. In the future, you need to think about an experience where colleagues only focus on things that are not repetitive in nature, because those will be automated. And the evolution of AI as well, it will really, really enhance the colleague experience significantly. And not only that, and as I always say, and I said it earlier on, you impact a colleague experience, naturally that translates into a way better customer experience. And we have a number of use cases that talks to that are AI enabled, covering customer experience efficiencies and managing risk and colleague experience, as I indicated. So and if you look at those four themes, naturally that brings efficiency within the organization and creates solutions that are actually fit the purpose. And you know there's always risk related to fraud, and the quicker you can react to fraud, the better to minimize losses. And AI helps us to be able to achieve that.
For everything that you've just said now, that investment in the customer experience, you know, partnering with an organization like Salesforce, sitting down and taking all of these applications, trying to bring everything into one of the platform, implementing AI and all of these things. How do you think, if I often like to use the analogy of a 100-meter race, right? Obviously, with everything that you've just spoken to us about, we are already running, right? But how far do you feel like something like that it has helped yourselves as ABSA, and I guess the wider industry in South Africa, get rid of that impression that your large banks tend to be laggards sometimes when it comes to, you know, use of and investment in technology? And maybe I can even just proffer that. Do you think that is a fair that is a fair view, you know, to have, that banks tend to be laggards sometimes?
I think the perception is out there, and I think as ABSA, we've made significant investment to really change that perception. And you use an analogy of running. You could be running at a particular speed. And these investments allows you to triple that speed. We spoke about investment in a frontline application like Salesforce, or rather platform like Salesforce. But equally, on the back of that, there's other bigger investments, partnerships that we have. We've partnered with AWS to use their capability to really increase the velocity of driving change. And these partnerships are all there to, and the convergence of these partnerships really is helping us to be able to create a velocity and of delivering capability, as stated, but equally do it in such a way that that is fit for purpose in terms of the customers that we serve. Certainly, we're not laggards anymore, Mr. Mudiwa. And you've seen in a couple of hours that the bank has been able to win over time, especially on our digital platforms, translating to how in the investment that we've made. And it's never enough. It's never enough, because as we continue to invest, other banks continue to invest. And we need to be able to, we're all running, but we need to run faster as ABSA. And I think we've built enough muscle in the ecosystem to be able to do that. But equally, if we look at a capability like Salesforce, we've been able to partner with local small technology companies, and majority of those black-owned, and on top of that, female-owned companies. And we've created what is an ecosystem of partners that our relationships are mutually beneficial, something that did not exist about 3-4 years ago. And I think it's been a great achievement to see As Aptar grows, we are able to see our partners as well as grow within the context that I've explained. And I think it's great to see the partnership, and it brings skills into the local market, which is something that I'm extremely passionate about. And as APSA, I'm super proud that we've been able to create and sustain local talent in partnerships with small and medium-sized technology companies. And I think I don't know if you were at Salesforce annual event that they were hosting in South Africa 2.5 years ago. I would say there were 150,000, let's say about 5,000 or 2 to 10,000 individuals at that event. Years later, the latest one, those numbers almost far exceeded what that looked like many years ago. And it just shows that apart from the capability itself, the impact that we're not only having within the organization, but also within the local industry and how we continue to partner. Because these are things that we need to be continuously sensitive about. And I'm quite pleased that as APSA, we've been able to make a contribution in that regard.
It's actually very funny that you say that, because I have been to Salesforce's big annual event. I think it's twice now. The last one I went to was at the Kyalami racetrack, and they literally took over that entire space. And if anyone has ever been to that particular space where they do the conferences, it's a massive, massive space. And I have a number of people I know that work at some of these small businesses that you're talking about that do Salesforce implementations. And it's always been one of the things that's fascinated me the most about that ecosystem, is that those small businesses and the people in them tend to be the biggest evangelists, when it comes to the value of Salesforce and, career trajectories, all of these things. People seem to be quite positive in that ecosystem. But I want to maybe come back to this view around being a laggard, which you said is not which you said is not the case based on the types of investments that are being made right now. And I'm glad that I have you here, because I can ask you a question that we've asked a couple of times on this platform, but very keen to get your thoughts, is for a bank, what does digital transformation mean, in your context? And I ask that question against the backdrop of the fact that at least for the last, let's call it 40 or so years, your banks have been technology businesses anyway, right? Whether we're looking, they've been technology businesses for all that time, right? You've got the payment systems, you've got around the 1975s, you've got the advent of your Visas, your MasterCard, all of this stuff. So tech has been at the core of financial services for a long time. So in 2024, what does digital transformation, look like? Is it a mindset thing? Is it the type of technology that we're using? Is it how we interact with customers? Like, what does that actually mean?
It's all what you've mentioned. It's culture that you run within the organization. And when I talk about culture, I'm talking about continuous learning, continuous improvement, and always wanting to innovate and do things that has never been done before. And it talks to that. And secondly, it talks to having the right tools to be able to do that. Now, in technology, those tools talks to To infrastructure, it talks to, and as mentioned, our partnership with AWS, and it talks to the talent that you have within the organization to be able to sustain the velocity of driving transformation. And at the core of it is the ability to use data to commercialize and create a solution that are relevant to the customer. And you will see an ability to continuously change and be able to be ahead of the curve in solution customers on the basis of those key four pillars that I've mentioned. Today we're talking about AI, and AI has been with us for a very long time. But what has significantly changed is the translation of a capability like that into a real life. Solutions that people like you and I can be able to apply in our daily lives and corporates, and to be able to use those capabilities to create solutions that are and commercial solutions that have never been there before, or even just create efficiencies within the ecosystem, and lastly be support to our colleagues in servicing clients. Imagine dealing with 200 calls per day, and every time that call comes through, you don't know exactly what's going to come in terms of the customer need. Now your ability to have something that assists you to be able, the knowledge at the tip of your fingers, to be able to support the customer is quite critical. Because these things are enablers that make a fundamental difference to our colleagues. Yes, over time, machines will do a lot more than we as humans be able to do, and you will start having a human-like interaction with machines. And what is critical for us is for us to be prepared for those with those kind of evolution. And I think with the talent that we're trying to bring within the organization, with the capabilities through our partners that we're investing in, as well as and being very, very close to our business colleagues, and a combination of those three things allows us to be able to continuously test ourselves against the market and improve the quality of service that we provide to our clients.
Tato, you've mentioned a couple of times in this discussion about when it comes to customer experience, the interaction that customers have when they actually call in, your call centers and that type of thing. So I can tell that this is something that you've probably applied your mind to, quite a bit. Keen to understand from an AI point of view, then, do you see that marriage of AI and call center capability being a co-pilot type of interaction where I am a call center operator, call comes in, and I have like a piece of AI, that sort of acts as a dashboard and is able to tell me very quickly, this is Tato, he's called four times this week, this is his issue, this is what we've recommended to him so far, rather get him there so that we get rid of that thing that tends to happen where you call in and then now you have to tell each person that you're handed over to your life story and then, that type of thing. Or are we working towards that world that many people tend to fear where it's, Tato calls and instead of talking to Mliwa, he's talking to he's talking to the AI and it's able to help him on his own, without a human on the other side.
I think where we are today, Mujiwa, we are experimenting with co-pilot capabilities. We've got a number of use cases that we're working on to assist our colleagues. You've spoken about predictive capabilities that we are able to understand the needs of the customer. I think you've spoken about a 360 view of the customer, so that when the colleagues, when the customer calls in, we are able to at least have a sense as to why they're calling us and who they are. And I think behind some of that, the way we authenticate customers without asking too many questions is integral to that. So things like voice biometrics, facial biometrics, and a few others, and a combination of these capabilities are critical to what we do. And a combination of these capabilities is what we have and what we continue to build upon. Yes, things will evolve, and I think the maturity on how things evolve, as you both know, will is something to be tested over time. There will be functions that we as an organization and together with our colleagues, we prefer that that they're operated by machines. But I don't think we'll ever be in a position to replicate that. Altogether from servicing customers, you will still need some human interaction, and I think a combination of those two of machines being able to do certain things and humans doing a lot more human-centric capabilities is the sweet spot of the outcomes that we are looking for.
And you know that piece, right? I think it helps us to answer, but, you know, maybe we could go slightly deeper on that point. Because one of the challenges when it comes to AI is, obviously for the last year or so, it's organizations being able to iron out what their use cases are. You know, when it comes to that use of AI, but does an organization derive the most value, you know, from AI based on the things that they can do behind the scenes, you know, perhaps solutioning or creating products or, you know, that type of thing? Or is there more value in how a customer necessarily interacts, you know, with the organization? So you and I have been having quite a bit of a discussion about call center capabilities, for example, chat banking and that type of thing, where, you know, if I'm Tato and I'm thinking about we are putting money into this thing, where, how am I thinking about I guess that return on investment? Am I getting it more in terms of, I guess, those interactions with our stakeholders, or more internally with how we are running the organization, efficiencies and solutions?
I think it's both of them. It's both of them. What customers don't want is an experience with a robot that does not understand what they want at that point in time. It's the most dreadful experience, as you know. Therefore, the evolution of AI and being able to do some of these things remains critical. On the back of that, as an organization, there's efficiencies because over time, as our number customer base grows and services that we provide grow, there's a certain level of balance that we need to create where the human activities are driven by humans and activities that are generally very repetitive and we can need less humans driving those are automated. Now, and the automation of that could take different forms, and therefore AI can play a role in that. Equally, as much as we as customers, you and I as customers, want a seamless experience, colleagues also do not want to be doing repetitive tasks all the time. And they want to do activities that creates value, that activities that that are stimulating you to be able to come to work on a day-to-day basis. And it's our duty as technologists to be able to help them solve for that. The more we reduce colleague frustrations, the more we make it a lot better for our customers. Now, to answer your question directly, it's really the combination of colleague experience as well as a customer experience, and also removing inefficiencies in our systems. And I think at an industry level, or rather in general, I think there's been a lot of talk about machines replacing humans. And I think my view is that it's not a straightforward answer. I think we need to think about the whole customer experience. And I think as humans in a banking environment, a colleague play a critical role in how we service clients. But we need to support them to with capabilities that makes it a lot better going forward. And as I stated, there's a number of use cases that that are in flight that talks to that outcome. And the platform, like the Salesforce platform, with some of the underlying capabilities that have created, it help us to move at pace. And it talks to the point that you made earlier on. It's so important that we are able to respond to customer needs with agency and fit for purpose capabilities.
All right. So I think where we can bring this conversation to a close and also bring a number of these things together is the issue of investment. I think it's quite clear that the area of artificial intelligence or AI is an area that's quite important for yourselves, customer experience. We've spoken quite a bit about the relationship with an entity like Salesforce. But outside of that, anything else that you perhaps want to highlight or is keeping you up at night in terms of technology out there before we let you go, Tato?
I think one thing that we haven't touched on is scarcity of talent. We've been investing in a number of areas, skills development. We've invested in digital skills development. We've invested in Salesforce skills development. And we bring those that skills base into the ecosystem over time. Our ability to attract talent in the market and bring that into the organization is a big focal point for us. And also, we cannot do without very strong partners in the local market. And hence, we've been quite deliberate about our partnerships with technology companies, especially the small and medium-sized technology companies. Because as they grow and their contribution to bring the right skills into our organization is super, super critical. And maintaining the very strong partnerships with those. But at the core of it, skills and access to skills remains important. But we have the responsibility to clear the demand. And we've been doing that. We've been quite deliberate with local skills, for that matter, because it is easier to source skills internationally. But and it's critical, though, that we emphasize a lot on local skills. And I mean, within the Salesforce base, we now have almost just less than 50 SMEs that we've been working with in the past 3 years. And some have grown to be from small enterprises to medium-sized enterprises. And hopefully one of these days, a few of those will become big enterprises that, like the likes of LTI or IBM International. So that's key. And as you we both know, you solve the problem, your impact, you become a very strong force for good within the country, and which is something that we all want to see.
All right. So that's how we bring today's discussion to a close. It has been great just interacting with Tato around APSA's investment in technology and how they are thinking, you know, about staying ahead of the curve. Big focus around customer experience and some of the factors that actually go into making sure that, you know, the seamlessness that customers are demanding in the current environment actually gets achieved. And the fact that there's a lot of complexity to make all of that happen. Also talking about some of those touch points that customers tend to have with an institution like APSA and some of the ways that technology and specifically AI can be used to enhance those types of interactions. You know, Tato talking about the fact that they're playing around with a number of, you know, different solutions right now, you know, around authentication, you know, around co-pilots, and also, you know, around being able to at least know why a customer is getting in touch or at least arriving at a solution much faster than what would typically happen. For now, yeah, his views, the fact that there is a place and there will be a place for the foreseeable future for, you know, the human being to be part of that process. But it's about getting rid of, you know, some of the more mundane and repetitive tasks. And he also says that the most value is going to be gained by those types of interactions, but also the type of work that, you know, people inside the bank, you know, themselves are doing and how they use some of these AI tools and capabilities, you know, just to make sure that they can focus on higher order tasks in the work that they do. Talking quite a bit as well about the relationship with Salesforce, what that entails, the type of partner network that they need, the type of you know, small businesses that then have to implement some of these projects, and you know how that goes, you know, a long way to actually helping the bank to achieve its ends. And then I think lastly, talking about talent, because it's one thing to say you want to invest in the technology, but you need to at least have people that understand the technology, can implement the systems and actually help you to guide your view of how you use that technology going forward. So that's been it for today. We were in conversation with Tato Matolong, who is the managing executive for technology and operations over at APSA Everyday Banking. Tato, thank you so much for being with us today.
Yeah, pleasure having a conversation with you. Hopefully we'll chat again. Thank you very much.
And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, wherever you choose to get your pods casted. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So from myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.